Hey, good morning, everyone. My name's Glenn. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace. A lot of times I spend my time up in Farmington, and this morning I get to be with you here. So I'm so grateful to be able to be with you here today. I bring belated Valentine's wishes to you. Hope that all went well. I mean, that can mean good and bad throughout the season. But one thing I noticed during this Valentine's season is that anytime you turn on the radio, don't you notice there's an amplified version of love songs? I mean, they just go nuts with love songs this time of year. And I can remember back in the day when I was with my mom and dad driving in the car once again, and they would sing love songs to each other. I remember hearing them sing this: "What the world needs now, come on, is..." That's right. Yeah, you remember that, right? And then so we continued that transition, that tradition, I should say. And when Sue and I started dating, I used to sing to her, "I love you just the way you are," right? A little better than that, but... And then we continued that tradition with my kids. It was so cool. You should have been in the Boardman household when my kids were from like 6 to 12, somewhere around that area. Because we'd be driving down the road in my green van, the Chevy van that we had, and the family would break out in four-part harmonies. I can remember them singing DC Talk's "Lean On Me," and it would be like, we'd be singing in four-part harmony. "Stephanie, where are you? Wait behind here. Remember that, babe? You remember those days?" We would just be, I mean, they'd be nailing the harmonies that way. And then, I can remember one time especially, when Allison, who was this beautiful young woman up here, we were driving in the car together, and this song came on. Her favorite artist, one of her favorite artists, and she would sing in the car and she'd go, "My heart will go," you know, at 10 or 11 years old. But the funny thing is, after that song was done, she started pushing the buttons on the radio and she found it again. Would listen to it again, "Hear My Heart," and then again, and this one time, we listened to it 6 times in a row. She kept finding it, kept finding it, kept finding it. "My heart will go on and on and on," it seemed like, right? How about you? Do you have your favorite love song? Maybe you have you have a song when you were married or when you started dating. Or maybe you have a song that you've heard that you project to the type of person that you would love to fall in love with. Or it could be a song that paints that perfect picture of your future, what that would be like. I did a little research about love songs, and I found out some pretty neat things. Did you know that the Beatles wrote 301 songs about love? And yet they weren't experts on it, were they? You know, if we look at their lives that way. I Googled songs that have love in the title, and I found a bunch of different lists, and there was one list that had 1,187 songs in it, and that by no means is exhaustive. It's exhausting, but it's not exhaustive to be able to have that many songs about love. And many of these songs ask this question that we have up here: what is love? Here's what I learned about love through this list of songs. I learned that love is a many-splendored thing because there's a crazy little thing called love. And all you need is love because there's a whole lot of love. There's somebody to love and there's a whole lot of love, right? Especially if I drink love potion number 9. I can't help but fall in love when that happens. And then how sweet it is to be loved by you because she loves you, and everybody say, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." All the old timers remember that, right? I discovered songs about Love Street, Love Gun, Love Game, Love Train, Love Roller Coaster, Love in an Elevator, and... You can thank me for that later. As you leave here, that'll be on your mind. You'll be singing it. People people outside the doors are going, what is going on in that church? That's just a love shack. But be careful. I also discovered this, that love is a battlefield. Love stinks. Love hurts. Love kills. Love is blind. Love is dangerous. And love dangerous. And love made a fool out of you. So someone, please stop in the name of love. Because, sugar pie, honey bunch, I can't help myself. I love you and nobody else. No wonder with all of this confusion and all these different titles of the song that Foreigner, the band Foreigner, said this. I want to know what love is. And that's kind of where we are in this sermon series here. I want to know what love is. So, what is love? We don't have to really listen to the radio to determine it, because actually that would give us a false idea about what love is. You don't have to go very much further than this place here and some of the songs you sang here. In fact, last week you sang these lyrics. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. Now that's love. Or you sang this, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. A little bit later after this, we're going to sing these lyrics right here. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you, give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. That is what love is all about. That is love. An unconditional love that seeks me out, not for who I will be, but for who I am right now. That's the love that we're talking about. It's a love that's a sacrificial life where he offers his life so that I can have life. It's an unending love, an eternal love that pursues me even though I don't deserve it. Oh, an overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. This is what love is. And if we want to know what love is, we really don't have to look any further than to Jesus. We really don't. Last week, we began this sermon series with the scripture from 1 John chapter 4, and I'd like to take a look at that again, and I'd like to dip a little bit deeper into it before we get into today's passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is a scripture that, quite frankly, answers the question very nicely, what is love? And as you'll discover, it's a multiple-part answer, but it's got a singular focus. It points to one thing. So let's read together. It says here, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. First of all, there's that thought again. Let us continue to love one another. All throughout Scripture, we have that command to love one another, that urging to love one another. And the writer here, John, is saying, hey, continue to love one another. But then he gives us the reason why we're to do this. Why? Because love comes from God. He says, so the first part of the answer to this question, what is love, is actually an answer to where does love come from? And what's the answer to that? Love comes from God. That's right. Continue on. He said, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And here's the answer to that question, what is love? And it's actually an answer to who is love. So what is love? Who is love? God is love. John, the writer of the passage, is saying this. He's saying, anyone that truly loves knows God. And anyone that knows God can truly love. Because love is God, God is love, and all love comes from him. He's the source of it all. You follow me there a little bit? All right. He continues on, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us And he sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So answers the question, what does real love look like? And he says, this is what real love looks like. It's that he sent his son. And he gave himself. We need to only look to Jesus to be able to see that. We see how he lived, how he loved, how he gave of himself when he walked here on the earth, how he ultimately gave himself on the cross for us. That is real love. And that's what he's pointing out. This also answers the question, how are we able to love? And we're able to love because God first loved us. In fact, we can't have this type of love unless we know that first love of God. We can love in other ways, as we'll discover here in a second. But this type of love, this agape love that we're going to be talking about, we can only love because God is with us, because he first loved us. When that happens, then we can love him back, and we can love others. John continues on. He says, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love God, if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And this answers the question, why should we love? The answer to that is because God loves us. How much does he love us? The word says, he loved us so much that he gave his one and only son so that we might have everlasting life and we don't perish. That's how much. So these questions, where does love come from? Who is love? What is love? What does real love look like? How can we love? Why should we love? All good questions, but they all point to the same answer. Jesus. Jesus. So now that we have that foundation found in 1 John of what love is, let's read this scripture here in 1 Corinthians with a new understanding and in a new light. Let's follow. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Says this, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, and it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Does that sound familiar to some of you? Where do you usually hear that? At a wedding, that's right. Yeah, you do. And you see it on refrigerator magnets and on bumper stickers and on nice paintings for the wall and things like that. But it's more than just a pretty saying. I think God really wants to talk to us about something here with this. So let's talk about this word love, okay? Did you know that there are four different words in the original Greek language that can be transcribed into love? So anytime you see in the Bible the word love, it's one of these four words. The first one is this, it's storge. And this is the type of love that a parent has for their child or a child has for their parent. It's this affection that happens, this special thing. Now some of us have experienced that, some of us haven't, quite frankly. I know I did. I'm celebrating my mom's 1 year anniversary of her death. She died a year ago today. So there's been a lot of thoughts in my mind, and I smile. I wrote to my brother today. I said, yeah, I'm a little sad, but most of the time when I think of mom, I smile because of this storge love, this affection that was there. So there's that one translation that's there. Another translation is this, philia. When you see that word, there's an English word that might come to mind. What's the English word? Philadelphia, right. Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. So philia is this brotherly love among friends. It's the type of love that Joey had for Chandler or that, it's that type of love that is out there. So some of you might know that type of love. The third type of love is this word eros or eros. What does that look like in English? It's okay, you can say it. Erotic, right, erotic. So this type of love is intimate. It's usually a sexually passionate love. It's when two lovers love one another. So it's that type of love. But the passage that we just read, the scripture that we just read in 1 Corinthians, it's not those translations at all. It's this word love is what was found in the 1 John, passage where God is love. It's the same word that's translated there. And it's the same word that Pastor Kelly talked to you about last week. And it's this word here, and it's agape love. And agape love is a different type of love than all those other types of love here. Agape love is the highest form of love. It's the love of God for his people. So you can see, the origination of this love is different. It's loyal, endless, and unconditional, kind of unlike our love. Sometimes we'll love when we're loved, and we don't love when we're not loved. And it's an intense affection that must be demonstrated. So there's action behind this agape love. The word agape just means just love in action. A little bit different than some of the viewpoints of love that we might have today. So with that, let's take a closer look at this 1 Corinthians 13 passage here. First of all, love is patient. That's action, right? The original Greek word means long-tempered. It means that you're patient, you're slow to anger, you endure things with the person that you love. Love is kind. That means you're giving, caring, compassionate. It has this mildness kind of attached to it. So it's a gentle love there. Love doesn't envy or boast. What's the basis of envy? It's to be able to say, well, I think I deserve better than what I got or what I have. And the basis for boasting is, you don't deserve what I have because I'm all that. You know, that's bragging. That's the way it is right there. So there's no room in this type of love for that type of an attitude. It doesn't envy and it doesn't boast. Love isn't arrogant or rude. Do you know anybody like that? Don't poke your partner there, okay? You know, you might have that. That just means you're puffed up or you're filled with yourself. And there's people like that. And once again, this word love, this agape love, there's no place for that type of person. It doesn't insist on its own way. That is the opposite of arrogant and rude. It means that it's selfless. It's not irritable and resentful. That means it doesn't get easily provoked and it doesn't hold a grudge when it is provoked. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. That means there's righteousness involved. Not self-righteousness, not I know everything and I'm right, but to be able to know that you want what is right to be done, no matter what the cost. That's love. Love bears all things. It covers the faults of others. It's the opposite of a nagging wife or a fault-finding husband. You know, it's different than that. Love believes all things. That means you trust in the person and you give you give a chance to them and you look for the best in the other person. Love hopes in all things. That means you're waiting for joy and with confidence for what is to come. And love endures all things. That means to persevere, to remain steadfast, no matter what, you're going to be hanging in there. That means if you're loving at your job, that you're that way whether you're profitable or you're not. Or in your family, you're loving through the thick and the thin. Or if you're married, you're loving for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. You've talked about that before, right? And then finally, love never fails. We have a song around here. We sing, love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Love never fails. So what is it that God would be saying to us through these verses today? What is it? I think there's three things. The first can be done this way. You laugh because we put your name there too, okay? The first thing is, what we're going to do is we're going to do three different substitutions. We're going to insert name here. In the first place I'd like to do is that where that Glenn is, I want you to think about someone else, okay? It doesn't have to be someone that you're in love with or so, whatever, whoever it may be. Just think of someone and think, is Joe patient and kind? Is Joe not envy or boast? Sally, is she not arrogant or rude? And most of the time, what's going to happen in our minds is we're going to say, well, they fall a little bit short in that one. Oh, they don't measure. but they're not doing too well there, you know? My wife, she ain't too patient when I'm driving with her, you know? Or my cousin, he's not too kind when I goof up. Or you know, I don't have to envy, you know, because of that. Or the so-and-so is so full of herself. She's the queen of mean. She's boasting all the time. Now, the second way is to put my name in there. So I want you to do that. Put your name in there. See what happens there. How do you measure up? Probably not too much better than the person that you had before. Glenn is patient. Well, sometimes, you know. Glenn is kind. Well, I'm kind sometimes to the people that are kind to me, but those that are unkind to me, maybe I'm not so kind to. Glenn doesn't envy. I'm envious sometimes. I'm envious of maybe some recognition, or I'm envious of someone's money maybe, or vacations or whatever. Glenn isn't arrogant. Or rude. When I get to those places, I say, gee, you know, I don't measure up so well. I'm not exactly there. Personalizing these verses, putting a name in the place of love, it gives us a standard. And you know what that standard is? It's perfection. The standard is perfection. It makes us ask the question, am I? Am I kind? Am I patient? Am I long-suffering? And it makes us evaluate ourselves to see how we're doing. And then it also makes us to think about God's standards. And so what is his standards? What else does he have to say about the standard of love? We talked about this just a few weeks ago when we had the Vision Sunday, and we used two major scriptures to be share about what our mission is here at Grace. And one of them is called the Great Commandment. That's what we're going to look at right here. This is Jesus who was talking to a bunch of people that were trying to trick him into saying some things that would convict him. And he answers this. He says, one of them says, a lawyer says, hey, I have a question for you. What's the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. God, his two commands, his two greatest commands, both involve love. And Jesus is saying this is the most important thing, is to love this way, to love God and to love others. And he's not saying this. He's not saying, I want you to go out and try to love. I don't want you to be working on your love. I don't want you to aspire to love or to grow in love. This is what he's saying. He's saying love with 100% of you are who you are. Love with 100% of what you have. All of you, all the time. So let me ask you, how are you doing with that? How are you doing with that? Because if this passage is primarily about us, if it's about me putting my name in there, the trouble with that is that I fall short all the time. This passage is law to us. The law points out where we fall short and how we fall short, and that we fall short. That's the bad news, because it exposes our failure. It diagnoses our love problem that we have, and says, man, you are not doing so well with this. And it points out our shortcomings and our need for a Savior. That's if this passage was all about me. But you know what? It's not all about me. Because Glenn isn't love. God is love. If this passage is primarily about God, because God is love, then we don't have to really worry about that, because God is not surprised when we screw up. He's not surprised when we don't love 100% of the time. He's not surprised when we're not kind or we're not patient. It doesn't take him back and say, oh, boy, they goofed up. It doesn't surprise him at all. He knows that. And yet, he loves us 100% of the time with 100% of who he is. All the time. All in. All of him. And when we receive his love, then he can love through us. I think that's what this passage is here. So let's do this name exercise again. We're kind of wrapping it up here. But this time, I want us to not put someone else's name in it or put your name into it. We're going to put God's name into it. And I would love to be able to have us all say it out loud. I think it would be more powerful that way. And at the end of each statement, I want you to say these words, me always. And you'll understand what I'm trying to get at here, okay? So repeat. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Repeat with me. God is patient with me always. God is kind to me always. God does not envy or boast, and he is not arrogant or rude to me always. God does not insist on his own way and is not irritable or resentful to me always. God does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with me and the truth in me always. God bears all things with me always. God believes in me always. God hopes in me always. God endures all things for me always. God never fails me always. God loves you always. In preaching this sermon, there's a temptation to end this way. Okay, you know what love is. You know where love comes from. You know we're commanded to love. So now go and try to be more patient. And try to be more kind. And try not to get ticked off at your spouse. And try not to yell at the person that cuts in front of you on the road. And you know what? All of that would be great. And I want us to go out into the world and to show the love of God to people. But this is not about us so much. Because we cannot manufacture that type of love. This love, this agape love, it's about God. And love is all about God. And all true love starts with him. And that true love can enter into us. And that true love can go through us. But it's not until we recognize that love. So this is our homework. This is the big idea. This is what I want to send you out of here with, is this. Try to fathom just how much God loves you. God loves you with all your screw-ups, with everything you've done, with everything you're doing now, with everything you will do. God loves you always. That is love in action. That's agape. Will you pray for me? I mean, pray with me, but pray for me too. Please pray for me. Father, we recognize that you are the source of this love that we've spoken about here. Without you, how can we possibly even consider reading these and applying these scriptures here that we've had? But we do want to just be able to have you knock down any facade, any walls that or in our minds, any chains that hold in our heart, to be able to receive your love for us. And as we do, Lord God, then maybe perhaps we can start loving ourselves more. Maybe perhaps we can start loving others more. And we know that we would love you, Lord, as we receive your love. This is love in action. And we pray for that to happen, Lord. We pray that you act in our hearts even now.